Thank you for joining Sharon Baptist Church this morning. You're about to hear a message from Pastor James Strickland. If you'd like to join them, you can get directions on their website, SharonBaptistConcord.com. Or watch the live stream on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
And to kind of put a perspective on how much Jesus means to you, I remember, it's been 30 years ago, I guess, an old evangelist, Vance Havner. His wife had just died. I told you this story before, but it's pertinent for today. His wife had just passed away, felt so lonely, felt alone. He was on a park bench in Florida. He said, I was feeling sorry for myself. And he said, God, as much as spoke to me and said, Vance, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I haven't died. And you're still here. Get off that park bench and get about what I've called you to do. And here's what he said. It really struck a nerve in my heart. He said this, and you need to remember this because you'll use it in your life as well. He said, Pastor, you'll never know how much God means to you until God's all you've got.
Amen.
Amen? Yeah. I don't think I need any more than God, do you? But it's good to know that He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, even in the storm, through the storm, after the storm, before the storm, and beside the storm. Our God's always there. Praise His wonderful name. I want to share a message with us out of the book of Song of Solomon. Now, if you're not familiar with your Bible, you ought to be, but if you're not, let me tell you how to find it. Everybody knows where the book of Psalms is. It's in the middle of the Bible. Our current president calls it Psalms, but it's Psalms. He calls it Psalms, but it's not. And some people call it Splasms and other names, but the name is Psalms. If you know where the book of Psalms is, you go find the book of Psalms. You start turning to the right. You'll find Psalms. You'll find Proverbs. You'll find Ecclesiastes. And then, lo and behold, you'll find the Song of Solomon right before you get to the book of Isaiah. So in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, I'm going to read just one verse to begin. We'll have other scriptures, but I just want to read one verse and bring a message about the neglected vineyard. The neglected vineyard. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. This is a maiden who had been working out in the fields, and this is her testimony, part of it at least. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. She says, look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. Now, closely note this last part. She says, but mine own vineyard I have not kept. These words ought to be of great concern. And these words ought to confront every single one of us who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. These words ought to be coupled along with a passage in the book of Proverbs. You'll turn backward just a little bit to the book of Proverbs. Chapter 24, I want you to look at verse 30. They go right along with what we just read. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 30. I'll read the remaining portion of that chapter, just a few verses. Proverbs 24, verse 30. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. There's a warning here in these verses that I read that could be kind of summed up in maybe a short sentence like this. Beloved, beware the barrenness of a busy life. Too often, our personal and our public confession of faith in Jesus Christ and our activity are accompanied by inward neglect and spiritual ruin. The one who professes her neglect here in this chapter was not neglectful of her duties. If you remember the verse, she said, I've been out in the sun so long tending the work in the vineyards that my skin has turned black, tanned, if you will. She said, I've worked in the heat of the day so long that my skin so sunburned that I'm black. So you see, she wasn't slothful in her duties of tending the vineyard. She was a keeper of the vineyards, but she had neglected her own vineyard. Now, there's some things about these thoughts that I want us to consider tonight. Very important things for our life to look at today. The first thing I want you to see with me is a privilege that we enjoy. And then we're going to look at the danger that we face. And then the remedy that we must apply to our own lives. So those three thoughts, back them up one at a time. First of all, notice the privilege which we enjoy. What is the privilege that we enjoy? We're keepers of the Lord's vineyards. We're saved by grace. God places us in a place where we can work for God. We're here tonight. You are too. All of us are. We're here by divine appointment. Do you believe that? You're not here by choice, not being by chance, not by luck, not by happenstance. We're here by divine appointment. See the force of those words in chapter 1, verse 6. She says, they made me. This lady had been compelled, if you will, to keep the vineyards. That's very similar to us. The Lord doesn't compel us, force us to keep His vineyard, but by the love of God, we are constrained. Look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and look at verse number 16. John chapter 15 and verse number 16. Jesus says in John 15, 16, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. So you see, God didn't compel us, God didn't force us. All we did when God chose us to work in His vineyard, all we did was just answer His call. In Matthew 21, look over there with me just a moment. Chapter 21, verse 28. Matthew 21, verse 28. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. So you see, there's a choice here to make. God calls us, God chooses us, God gives us opportunity to work in His vineyard. But you see, we have to answer the call. We have allowed God's love to constrain us, if you will, to be His servants and work in His vineyard. What are the vineyards, would you guess, into which God has placed us and in which we serve the Lord today? There are places God has placed us to serve. There are certain vineyards in which every single one of us has to labor in. Just an example. Let's assume you're a mother, all right? You're a mother. Your vineyard is your home, your husband, your children, and your family. That's your vineyard. Suppose you are a business person. Well, your vineyard is your business, your office, if you will. Suppose you're a soldier. Your vineyard is the army in which you serve. Suppose you're a preacher. My vineyard is to be laboring among those God has called me to minister to. It was told about a certain CEO. Don't know who it was, but it's a true story. A certain CEO had contacted his pastor, and he said, Pastor, would you come to my staff, and would you present the claims of Jesus Christ unto my staff who work under me? Why do you suppose any CEO would ever do that? He understood that his vineyard was the people who worked and his staff who worked under him. And he was concerned about them and their welfare. So, wherever God's placed you, whatever your vineyard may be, we are constrained by the love of God to work faithfully in that vineyard. Now, what a privilege. You stop and think about it. What a privilege it is that God gives us to serve Him in a vineyard of His choice where God has placed you to be the keeper of. Amazing, isn't it? One of God's vineyards. It's not just any vineyard, it's God's vineyard. One of God's vineyard, and God's put you over a certain portion of that vineyard. So you see, great privilege we have to work in God's vineyards. But there's a second truth here I want you to see. There is an immense danger that faces us. Notice the force of that word in this chapter 1, verse 6. Look at it again with me. It says, "Look not upon me, because I am black, because a son hath looked upon me, my mother's children." That would be brothers and sisters, wouldn't it be? "My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards." But notice this next word, the word "but." "But mine own vineyard have I not kept." Notice the force of that word "but." They made me a keeper of the vineyards. Then follows with a confession that she makes herself, and she says, "But my own vineyard I have not kept." We need to examine that very carefully, very spiritually, and take that to our heart, because you see, there are secondly grave dangers that we face in keeping our own vineyard. Don't misunderstand me, but hear me well. Sometimes it seems like it's dangerous to serve God continually. I'm talking about serving God 24/7. To the point that we neglect our own inner circle, our own vineyard, our own personal vineyard of our own life, our own personal communion with the Lord Jesus Christ, our own study of God's Word, our own fellowship with Jesus Christ. How easy it is for preachers, I speak for preachers because I'm one of them, I speak for preachers, how easy for preachers and people as well to profess one thing and live another. It's a danger to us. We all must face it. It's a danger of neglecting to cultivate our own inner life of communion with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Our own vineyard, if you will. It is true, the statement was made a long time ago. I heard it many years ago. It was told to preachers, but it's also applicable to all of us. We can never lift people above our own level of experience. Therefore, to me, it's a very sad and a solemn thing to neglect our own spiritual life. Many have done this, and they have failed the Lord in this respect of keeping their own vineyard. We get so busy sometimes serving God in the church. We get so busy serving God in our homes, maybe in the office, maybe on the job, in the career. But what about your own life? I have to consider my own life. I have to sometimes pull away and take some time away, like we're going to do the next couple of weeks. We're going to be on vacation. I'm going to take some time away. I need that time to cultivate my own inner spirit, my own inner vineyard in my own life. Do you need to confess? Maybe you do. My own vineyard I've not kept. Been so busy doing things for other people. Been so busy serving God. Nothing wrong with serving God. I serve God too. But you can't let it come to the point of taking away your own personal fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus, can you? Could it be that maybe your own personal vineyard is all grown over with weeds, nettles, and thorns? How can we avoid the danger of neglecting our own vineyard. One thing's for certain, I'll say this, one thing's for certain, we've got to take action, and we've got to take it personally, we've got to take it individually, and we have to take it frequently. So then, there's a danger we face, even in serving God, that we neglect our own vineyard. This lady here was so busy tending the vineyards of others, to the point that she had even black skin because the sun had so radiated her, being out in the heat of the day, working busy in those vineyards and neglecting her own vineyard. There's a danger for all of us to take here. Watch that carefully in your own life. Not to say there's anything wrong with helping anybody. We ought to help all we can. But you cannot, you better not, neglect your own inner fellowship with the Lord. What about that remedy? Is there a remedy for it? The privilege is there. The danger we face, but what about that remedy? How can we, how must we keep our own vineyard? I have discovered four simple words that will help us in how to keep your own vineyard as it should be kept. First word is this. There's got to be some pruning done in our own vineyard. There's got to be some, if you will, lopping off of some fruitless branches that hinder the living branches from bearing forth fruit for the Lord. John 15 again, look at verse 2. John chapter 15 and verse number 2. Jesus says these words, John 15, 2. He says, of course, I'm the vine, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now get the word here, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So to keep your own vineyard in good condition before the Lord, there's got to be some pruning done. Jesus says, cut off those dead branches. Have you ever seen a dead branch bring forth any fruit? Not possible, is it? Why? No life in it. No sap in it, no blooms on it. So you see, that refers to our own life. There may be some dead branches in your life or my life that need lopping off. Now, I want you to understand, you can't do it. John 15, 2 says, every branch in him that bringeth not fruit, who takes it away? He takes it away. So if those branches in our lives are dead and fruitless, and need to be lopped off or cut off, need to be pruned, God will take care of it. Do you have any dead branches in your life? If you do, you know what they are. Ask Jesus to take them away. Look in your Bible at Matthew chapter number 29. Matthew. There's not but 28 chapters in Matthew, I'm sorry. Matthew 5, 29, I'm trying to say. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29. Matthew 5, 29. Jesus' words again. Jesus says, and if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So what's he saying? If there's some pruning in your life that needs to be done, Jesus will take care of it. Let him cut it off. Let him lop it off. It's better for you in the long run. Why does he say that? Because if you do some pruning, then there's some purging that takes place in the same process. John 15, 30, 15, verse 2, he says, every branch, not most branches, but every branch in me that beareth fruit, he does what? He purges it. Now, what does it mean when he says he purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit? To purge means to cleanse. Now, he's not talking here about those dead branches. I said dead branches don't bear any fruit. He's talking about live branches here. He purges those live branches, cuts off, trims back. You know, from time to time, if you got fruit trees or vines, you have to prune them back that you have a better crop the next year. That's what he's talking about here in our lives. If there's some dead things in our lives that need to be pruned or purged away, let God take care of those, and those living, valuable, vibrant limbs will be bringing forth more fruit in the next season. More luscious fruit there will be. More profitable fruit. More prolific fruit, because it has been purged. Refers to some things maybe in our lives that need to be purged. Do you know there's some things in our lives sometimes that are lawful for us, but they're not ethical to us? Now, I want you to look at a verse here. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. I say 1 Corinthians, I meant 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I did mean 1 Corinthians. We'll get it right in a minute. Verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, 23. He says this: all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, for me, but all things edify not. So then, just because something may be lawful doesn't mean it's ethical. There's some things that may be lawful that you can't do, that you wouldn't want to do, that keeps you from being what God wants you to be or doing what God wants you to do. I'm saying anything, first of all, of course, is sinful. It's got to go. Got to be purged out. Got to be lopped off. But there are some things that are lawful, but they hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. Those are the things you can't take part in. Now, look at 2 Corinthians this time, chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1. Paul reaffirms it again. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Paul says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." There must take place in our life some pruning and some purging if our lives, and we're to keep our vineyards and our vessels meet or correct, fit, if you will, for the Master's use. I said there are four words that help us keep our vineyard. There's pruning, there's purging, but there's got to be a provision also in our lives to help our vineyards be clean and whole as they should be. If a vineyard is to be kept in good condition, then there's some things the vineyard has to have. It has to have nourishment. A vineyard has to have cultivation. And a vineyard has to have fertilization. That's going to be needed for the soil to produce the fruit that the plant or the vine is going to produce. Do you think the same thing's true with your soul? Not just soil, but your soul. Your soul needs nourishment. Your soul needs cultivation. And our soul needs fertilization, doesn't it? Listen, if it's to be kept in good order as it should be, that means I've got to take some time and get in that secret place with the Lord. I'm talking about regularly. Matthew says this. Listen, Matthew 6:6. Matthew 6:6. Good to know these things. Matthew 6:6. He says, this is Jesus' words again. Jesus says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Listen, we've got to dwell richly, and we've got to dwell deeply in God's Word in a secret place. Here's where you get your nourishment. Here's where you get your cultivation. Here's where you get your fertilization for your vineyard. Here's where it is. It's in God's Word. That's a provision whereby you spend that secret time alone. If you don't have a secret time you spend with God, I encourage you, start one. Start one tonight before you go to bed. Start one tomorrow. Start it immediately in your life. Because your vineyard needs provision. And you get that provision from the time you spend alone with God in His Word. I said there's a fourth word. There's some purging. There's some pruning. You got to have provision. But then you got to have protection for that vineyard. To take care of your inner life, to take care of your inner vineyard, of your own life, we must be on the lookout for these things. Back to Song of Solomon again. Look in chapter 2. Look in chapter 2. Look at verse 15. Solomon chapter 2, verse 15. He says this. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You've got to be on the lookout in your life, in your inner vineyard, for the little foxes. It's not the big things. It's not the big foxes. It's not the big problems. It's the little, sometimes we think, insignificant little foxes that they're the ones who spoil the vines. So often the little foxes rob us of our power with God, spoil our testimony in our lives. Listen to the book of Psalms 139. Psalm 139. Look at verse 23 and 4. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 4. The psalmist writes in Psalm 139, verse 23, "Search me, O God." Not my sister, not my brother, not my preacher. "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Do you think God knows your heart? Yes. Jeremiah says a heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't know your own heart. I don't know my heart. But God knows your heart, and God knows my heart. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So you see, we ought to be rejoicing today in the privilege we have to work in God's vineyard. We need today to be very much aware of the dangers we face of neglecting our own vineyard while trying to help others with their lives and their problems. And there's a remedy here, and we have to apply that remedy personally, individually, and frequently in our lives so that we can live a holy life and a happy life with the Lord from day to day. Then we will become like these vines, fruitful and useful in the Master's use. So you see, neglected vineyards are pretty prolific. They're everywhere. Just be sure it's not in your life. You just be sure it's not in your life. Because if it is, we can't be used of God. We can't be the vessels we ought to be if our vineyards are not well kept. Got to have the nourishment. Got to be cultivated. Got to have fertilization. There it is. Got to have some pruning done. Got to have some purging done. Got to have some provision for it. And God will provide the protection in it. Amen. Let's stand together. Lord, I'm so thankful. You give us a remedy for the dangers that we face. You give us a remedy when our vineyards have maybe been neglected. Maybe there's someone who's viewing us tonight or hears our words on the radio sometimes, or they realize that their own vineyard has indeed been neglected and they need to repent of their sins and ask you to come back into their heart as you want to and do some purging and pruning in their own life, that their vessel might be clean, their vineyard might be well kept, that you can get the most fruit from us that you want. For your honor and glory and praise, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was Pastor James Strickland at Sharon Baptist Church. You can find out more about us on our website, SharonBaptistConcord.com, or join us on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. God bless you.